The OTB Podcast Network with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.
We're taking a bit of heat from our Welsh counterparts, as we should. You know, that's the back and forth that comes with big-time rugby. And I don't know. I mean, I still feel like that was a Wales team that had 66 minutes against 14 men, and they weren't very good.
Yeah, look, they probably, with the sending off early on, you feared the worst for Ireland, and the way they played, you know, for 20, 25 minutes after that sending off was fantastic. They were brilliant to get 13 unanswered points, and Wales didn't put them away. I think Ireland added to their own downfall in the second half with silly mistakes, turnovers, and I think it's all your fault and Owen Sheehan's fault. That's what happened.
We humbly accept responsibility. Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad that we have such impact on sports events. I'm definitely going to start working this in favour of Kildare from now on. Why do we just lack? What is it that's wrong with our team at the moment? Where in key moments we're making mistakes that are, you know, uncharacteristic or not that type of player, but actually over the last couple of years, essentially, since this team was at its peak, these are the mistakes that characterise how we play rugby. Sexton missed those same kicks to touch in the World Cup against New Zealand. It's a consistent thing that's happened now. Billy Burns missing touch is happening to out halves for 10. Kicking out in the full is happening to us at various stages in the game. Just knock-ons. Keith Earls bringing the ball back into the 22, knowing what, like, hearing, we could all hear Wayne Barnes shouting back in, and he kicks it out and Wales score the try off it. Like, what has entered our culture over the last 2 years that this is happening consistently now?
Oh, it's just, I suppose it's a mental thing. That's the intrigue of sport, Shane, when you're under pressure, when you're in those situations, I think good sports teams make good decisions. And when you're winning, and you're full of confidence and self-belief, you get the bounce of the ball and you make correct decisions. I think when I say we added to our own downfall, it was those mistakes. Like, Ireland had 17 turnovers conceded in the match. After doing so many good things at the breakdown, you know, they had a 98% success rate at the breakdown against a backward that I was very fearful of, who've done us untold damage in the past. So, look, the effort level was phenomenal, and it has to be upstairs, you know. It has to be a mental thing and it's very difficult, you know. It's a psychological blow when you're out in a field like that and you have to play, you know, for so long, 66 minutes with 14 men. And like I said, they did so many good things, but it was just in the second half when there was going to be an inevitable backlash or fire from the Welsh coming out after half time. And, you know, there was, like, I thought they were brilliant. Like, some of the turnovers and the way they defended and the energy and the effort levels before half time was just brilliant. It was incredible what they did. They showed glimpses, and they're probably the positives of what they can do. They'll look back in the video and they'll see that, you know, kicking the ball out in the full, like I said, the Gary Ringrose one where he steps back inside, makes 7 or 8 yards. It's a great kind of carry from him off the scrum when they're coming out of their own 22, and he just tries to force the offload where there's absolutely no need. It's uncharacteristic of him because he usually makes very good decisions. They lose the ball and then the pressure is on, and Wales scored a try, George North off that. Stander is at the side of the ruck, and Ian Henderson, they just get a little bit tight, and George North is after getting back up off the ground, and, you know, he gets the ball and there's a big gap there for the second try. You know, the defence, there was enough of numbers there to defend it. Wales had a penalty advantage, but I think James Lowe just comes up and in and makes it that bit easier for Reece Sammet. So they're the kind of important decisions you've got to make when you're under pressure, and it's stuff that you look back at, and as coaches they'll say, well, this is wrong and this is wrong and why do we do this. Even the Keith Earls one where from the box kick he was never going to be able to contest in the air, and it's just a soft penalty. But look, it's frustrating to watch those and to see those, So it has to be a mental thing, you know. Sexton missing the touch as well, and you know, I'd be probably more critical of Johnny Sexton for that than I would be of Billy Burns. You know, Johnny Sexton is 80 plus caps, Billy Burns is 3 or 4. It still doesn't excuse what Billy Burns did at the end, but they're trying. Look, you have to be ambitious and go for the last couple of inches sometimes, but you've got to be safe as well and make sure you put it out into touch. Some of our kicking was really, really poor in that second half as well. And, you know, when you look at the stats, it's crazy. 64% possession, 68% territory with 14 men. You know, defensively, Ireland only missed 11 tackles. It's still in double figures. They lost 2 lineouts, but they stole 4 from Wales. So they did so many good things. 5 clean line breaks, 23 defenders beaten. You know, we were crying out for more ambition and a bit of wit in the game, and they certainly tried that. But, you know, it's very, very frustrating. Now, they deserve criticism for this, because even with 14 men, that excuse is there to say, well, we made these mistakes and we were under pressure and we got worn out. But some of the basic errors weren't acceptable. But there's still a lot of positives there, you know. And we said this last week. It was a crucial start for them and a great opportunity against the Welsh side, who, like you said at the start of this, and the Welsh public and the Welsh pundits will admit this. That wasn't a great performance from Wales yesterday. If they were a really, really good side, they would have put Ireland to the sword.
Yeah, and like, look, it was brain dead stuff from them at the very end, giving us the ball back and giving us the opportunity to win that game. The type of thing that a team that is low on confidence, that hasn't won any games of merit over the last year, I think Owen said they've beaten Georgia, Italy, and now Ireland. So, like, we had them there for the taking. Wayne Pivac's team has yet to find its own identity. And look, we know how good Wales have been over the last decades. They've been better than us. They've outperformed us in big matches, and they've been more successful than we have in our golden period. So we obviously know what they're capable of. It's just that this was an opportunity to drag them down and smother them and not give them the opportunity to get up into the game. Let's talk about the O'Mahony sending off, because it did have a massive impact. It's very difficult to know what it would have been like if it was 15 on 15. What happened?
Yeah, well, look, it was a definite red card. I think at the time you could hear Wayne Barnes saying, oh, it was a clean out and there was nothing in it. But when you go back and look at it, it's contact to the head straight away. And I was on a Zoom call last week with the Six Nations and World Rugby, and Joel Juge, the head of the referees, was talking about the sanction framework and the need for players to be really, really careful and make sure they don't dive off their feet and that they're driving, not diving. Right, okay, he doesn't follow through with and completely goes off his feet, but it was really, really reckless from him and from Peter O'Mahony. And he got sent off again against the Scarlets back in, I think it was September, for something similar, coming off his feet. So it was reckless, really, really reckless. And, you know, there's going to be mitigation if there's a left arm wrap and the arm is up and he makes contact there, that you're trying to clean the player out. But Thomas Francis was turned around facing Ireland, if you like, which is not the norm. And he makes contact there. And, you know, so very, very reckless and very, very costly. I think it's so difficult. I think you could feel the psychological effect of it. They rallied then and they stuck together, and I thought that was incredible. You know, I was really, really shocked at half time. Even to go in 6-6 would have been a massive thing for Ireland, but to go in 13-6 and get the try, Robbie Henshaw's break, the offload, and then the clean out from Cian Healy after Josh van der Fleer nearly got to the line was brilliant. So many good things there, Ger. So many good things. But unfortunately, as you say, it has an effect and it has its toll. And they were worn out from it, you know, even with the impact off the bench, which was good. James Ryan going off was massive as well. And I think Sexton going off near the end was a big moment, because they were all, you know, when Billy Burns kicks the penalty, brings it back to 5, you know, you then are making the opposition nervous that they're trying to contain and be careful and not give away penalties, and they got the opportunity. So it's it had a big impact in the game. There's no doubt about that.
Can you do anything to prevent that from happening again, Alan? I don't know, is it the coaching staff? Is it how you speak to the players to ensure that the head isn't lost, that there isn't a momentary lapse like that? Because you're right, it does change the entire view of the game. You're thinking to yourself at that moment, God, Wales should hammer Ireland at this point, down to 14 men so early.
Yeah, it doesn't always happen that you hammer a team. You know, the teams were all, it was always going to be a pretty close game. And so Ireland did, they were galvanised a little bit, and you've got to kind of pull together, and it kind of really focuses the mind, if you like, when you're down to 14, because you know the danger that's there and you've got to work harder. The opposite effect can happen with the opposition, because they feel maybe it's going to happen and that there is going to be space somewhere. Can you do anything about it? Well, look, yeah, you. I think all players would have been warned before the Six Nations that, you know, the head impacts and the concussion stuff that was out recently, and the way it's going to be treated, and you know, of course there's going to be accidental clashes here and there, and players can still get red cards, but if you're entering a ruck, you've just got to reduce the impact a little bit as regards when you see a player is in a prone position. Of course you're going to get collisions at times that are accidental, and that's where you get the mitigation, what kind of force is in it, what way the player's body language, and we see it a lot in tackles if a player dips and stuff like that. But you can't legislate for that when the arm is tucked in, and that's what's going to frustrate Peter O'Mahony himself, as the way he entered that breakdown. And you know, all the other teams will watch this, because it's hugely costly. It's hugely costly to go that long. Of course, players can cope for 10 minutes in sin bins and stuff like that. And on review, if you look at the Johnny Williams tackle on Gary Ringrose, if Ringrose goes down there, it's going to be reviewed. And that potentially could have been a red card as well. He got concussed himself, Johnny Williams, the Wales centre, and went off and didn't come back on the field. But it was a head-high challenge, and it was a wrap of an arm around the neck and face area. And Ringrose did really well to kind of ride the tackle, if you like. And if he goes down there, I think it could have been a red card for Wales. It definitely would have been a yellow card. But that was never reviewed, and that was missed by the TMO, Tom Foley. So players have just got to be careful. So it's the same for any team. Sometimes you can be a bit unlucky, and these things can happen in the spur of a moment. It's not down to bad discipline.
Hang on, you obviously get better information than the rest of us, because you're part of the broadcast team. So that was actually missed by the TMO. We're kind of working off the assumption that the TMO looks back at everything, and if there's a replay of it at all on the screen, then at least the TMO is having a look at it. And somewhere along the way, he's gone, no, that's fine. So actually, you think the TMO literally missed that, and that there could...
He got it wrong. Yeah, he got it wrong. There's, if you look at it, the replay of it, it's there would be probably some mitigation there. Both players were high up. It was he hit his head, knocked himself out. But it's a head-high tackle, and there's a responsibility on the tackler at all times in those situations. It was missed. It should have been. Like, I'd be surprised if he reviewed that and looked at it and said it was fine, because you can clearly see in the replays that it wasn't fine. It was a head-high tackle, and he came off worse than it, Johnny Williams, and it should have been at minimum a yellow card. It should have been reviewed, and the game should have been stopped to look at it. If Gary Ringrose goes down there, Ger, it would be reviewed, because he played on.
And the whole point of the sport is that, you know, this is not soccer. If players feel like that they need to go down in future to get that, then you would advocate for your players to start going down in those circumstances, because the rules have to be applied and they have to be applied fairly.
You just look at Thomas Francis. Was he injured after the collision with Peter O'Mahony? No, he wasn't. He kind of looked up and shouted at Wayne Barnes, but he got straight up and played on. If he was injured, he would have had to get, and had a concussion, he would have had to get a HIA, and he should have went off for a HIA if that was the case. But, you know, he did, but probably he was right. There was contact to the face area, and there's no defense of that. But if Ringrose goes down there, it's going to be reviewed and the game is going to be stopped and they're going to look at that tackle. Even if Tom Foley decides himself, looking at it, that there's not a lot in it and that it's fine, play on. You bring in the TMO, you bring in the referee by stopping it and reviewing it. And then you bring in the two assistant referees and you have that time. So a lot of that stuff is reactive analysis. It's the same as being a commentator. You've got to react to decisions that just happen really, really quickly. And sometimes you get them wrong or you miss a thing or you think it's okay when on reflection you look back and you think, God, that wasn't okay. So it should have been reviewed and it would have made a massive difference. I'm not advocating a red card here. I'm saying it should at least have been looked at and it would have been a yellow in my opinion because it was really reckless out of him. He doesn't come in a low body position to make a tackle. He comes in head high and the two arms come up around and there's contact on Gary Ringrose's face and head. He comes off worse. But look, it was missed and that was it. I think when you look at the game, you think you've got to be critical of the turnovers and the sloppiness in the second half, but you can't criticize the team for lack of effort and maybe some of the way the things they tried to do. We're crying out for them to try and be expansive and move the ball.
I think they deserve credit for that. It's just that the execution in some instances, like when Burns kicks the ball away, there's 4 minutes left on the clock and it feels like we're actually not going to get this ball back. So that was, you know, we were moving the ball relatively well. We were retaining possession. We were putting them under some pressure because they know that if they commit any kind of a penalty, it's going to be a line out to us, assuming we find touch. And all of a sudden, he makes that kind of strategic error of kicking the ball away. And that should have been the end of the game. So we would have been criticising him for that decision, as opposed to then ultimately he gets the criticism for missing touch at the end. You wonder, like, Brian O'Driscoll had the tweet, send out the SOS or get Harry Byrne and on speed dial. Is Billy Burns, is there a repercussion for his performance, not just the kick at the end, but the previous kick to that, that actually it doesn't look like he's ready for this level yet?
Yeah, he's a good footballer and there's no doubt, and he's inexperienced at this level, and I felt so sorry for him yesterday. You know, I think couple of decisions there. The crossfield kick, you learn in those big moments and big matches about keeping the ball and what the scoreline is. The crossfield kick was overcooked, but it was the wrong decision anyway. I think it should have been put through the hands. Keep the ball. You're not going to get that many opportunities with 14 men behind on the scoreline. And, you know, that was a poor decision from him. I think the pass when Ringrose makes the break up the touchline, you know, there was a timing issue with the pass when Ireland tried to come back to the opposite side when there was massive space and an opportunity to score a try. Henshaw, I think, went back and picked it up and the penalty came from that to kick it into the corner and that was missed. But, you can't throw him under the bus. You know, he did his best. There's a gap between...
But you don't have to kick him again. There's a difference between throwing him under the bus and deciding that...
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
You know, and that's where the coaches have to make the decisions. In some ways, I'm not saying they have a decision to make about O'Mahony, but like there has to be a repercussion for O'Mahony as well, where you do this to us and you're still our guy. Obviously, Peter O'Mahony's got unbelievable credit in the bank and we know he is absolutely ready for this level. He's been an Ireland captain, he's been a Lions captain, so he's always going to be there or thereabouts. But is there any point where you're like, if you make a mistake in the team, the pressure is on and we will drop you?
Of course there's a point in the team. Yeah, there is, absolutely. If you give away penalties, I've been in this situation myself before, if you give away penalties that cost the team or your discipline wasn't good or you don't play well, overall, I think, of course, you're vulnerable to being dropped and not picked again. I just think it's a pity. It's a pity we're talking about this because, you know, the human side of sport is, they are only human, and someone like Billy Burns making those mistakes, it's hard to kind of go, sport can be ruthless and it has to be ruthless at that level. So the coaches will look at that and decide what the impact of it is and what they do now. Harry Byrne, I think Dricko's tweet about getting Harry Byrne fast-tracked, well, I thought he should have been in the squad in the first place anyway. I think he's training with Ireland anyway, but you know, if you go back to Intermac with France, who made his debut as an 18-year-old, 18, 19, I think, a couple of years ago, his first 8 or 10 games were really poor for France. He made lots of mistakes, missed lots of kicks, missed touch finders, and they stuck with him. And look where he is now. He's a really important part of France. I know he's injured at the moment. So Harry Byrne has huge potential. And because, you know, we always talk about these cycles, World Cup cycles, where we don't experiment enough and we don't take these kind of chances. Maybe the time is to take these chances now. But look, I think on reflection, it's probably even for me, you know, you have to take a bit of a breather on this one and see what way, who's fit and healthy and maybe what way they train in the next day, today or tomorrow when they train. But it is going to be in their mind now, you know, who plays 10 next week if Johnny Sexton doesn't play. And Harry Byrne seems to be the one that's the obvious choice. Well, you know what you're going to get from Ross Byrne, and he's a very, very good footballer and a very good player. And but if you, that talent is kind of looming in the background, and maybe it's time to get him up the pecking order.
Alan, can I just ask, did we learn anything new about how Ireland are going to set up in the line-out, what the set piece was like, and Paul O'Connell's first game as forwards coach?
Yeah, I think, look, the timing was so much better. I know they lost two line-outs, and you're always going to lose one or two. It's you want to get 100%, so I thought the maul was better, and at times we probably could have mauled a little bit more. The accuracy and Rob Herring's throne was really good, and Ronan Kelleher did well when he came on. So I think there was definitely, you know, one of the lineups they lost was it was sluggish movement, and it was good defence from Wales, and that's probably the focus and the thing that probably has frustrated me about the Ireland lineup. It's just a bit slow in the movement. It's not about how quick you get it into the lineup, but it's just that movement on the ground and pace of the throw and stuff like that. So I think it was pretty positive yesterday, and they won a lot of good lineouts under a fair bit of pressure, a good opposition contest from Wales. And so they were able to generate ball to attack off, and you know, so it's his presence will be good around. I think Paul's presence this week will be really important as well. Talking to those players, they've got to get better. And you know, you haven't this situation where you're going to get everything 100% straight away, but I thought the timing and the speed of the lineup was a lot better yesterday.
I thought there was clear signs of progress, wasn't there? I saw Alex Corbacero on Twitter as well pointing out that the body position in the scrum was vastly different and better than what it had been against England a year ago, and he was concerned for the rest of the Six Nations about how well the Irish scrum was doing, even when we only had seven in it at times against the Welsh eight. So I thought there was clear signs that type of stuff is progressing. And that's the most frustrating part about this, is that, like, even against, even playing for only 14 men against that Welsh side, we gave them that victory, essentially.
Yeah, we did, I think. And look, who knows if I think if we didn't we conceded a try too early in that second half. We needed to weather the storm and get it into the late 50s, early 60s on the clock to kind of really frustrate Wales. They got that George North try, which was kind of a soft score in my opinion. It was a soft try and it was avoidable. And then they get confidence from that. And, you know, the second try, they were putting a lot of pressure on Ireland. They had turned the game around. That was always going to happen, Ger. You know, I remember as a player always speaking, coaches telling you, different senior players saying, look, the opposition will have their 10-minute period where you're on the back foot. And that's where you win and lose games, in my opinion. And we lost that game yesterday by some of those decisions, some of the penalties, drop balls, sloppiness, and that's the area that's the biggest frustration. You know, like you said, the effort level was really good, and it's game management, you know, so they've got to grow and learn from this pretty quickly, and it wasn't good enough. Even with 14 men, that excuse is there, but I think some of the basics that happened in that second half weren't good enough. A better side would really punish you. So of course you can take lots of positives out of it, but that was a real negative for me, even with the 14 men. Just the sloppiness and the decision making under pressure was really poor.
It really makes the. Are you go on?
Sorry, are you seeing a team, Alan, that looks capable of giving France a game and beating them this weekend?
Yeah, I do. I do. And I said this even before the tournament. Ireland will be, you know, they've got to make it really difficult for France, for sure. And they're very, very talented. I thought defensively they were really good, just say, for the vast majority of the game. But one bad decision, defensive read, and probably saw that from James Lowe, who did a lot of good things in the game yesterday. You just can't afford to do that because it's a seven-pointer and it can be hugely costly. There's a lot of look, Ty Byrne was phenomenal. Robbie Henshaw, Hugo Keenan, fullback, the forwards together as a unit were very, very good. So there's a lot of positive signs there, but it's the mental stuff and it's that ability to kick on and galvanize each other now to pick themselves up. You know, James Ryan going off was a big loss as well. Henderson, in fairness to him, did really, really well coming on and played very little rugby. So, look, the fly half position is the one that's concerning. You know, it's just getting that confidence and giving confidence to the teammates when someone comes on for Johnny Sexton that they're going to take control and be a real leader. And
if Sexton's
and we have
out,
issues around the depth there.
If Sexton's out, who do you pick for the France game?
I don't know. To be honest, it's not my area of expertise. I'm leaning towards taking a chance here. Even if we were to have a poor Six Nations and lose against France, maybe given Harry Byrne that time to experience the kind of pressure cooker that is international rugby is the thing to do. So I'm kind of leaning towards Harry Byrne.
I think that makes a lot of sense. We should briefly talk about the Scotland-England game. I didn't realise there's four times in history that Scotland have won at Twickenham. It's like, it's kind of like us and the All Blacks. It's almost as rare as that. That's why, perhaps, the pressure that they felt as the game ticked into the last 10, 15 minutes resulted in them playing some pretty brain-dead rugby at times as well. And there was a 2 or 3 minute period before Finn Russell got yellow carded where I was like, what is he doing? He actually turned his back on the play inside his own 22 after he had kind of caused England to get possession there by being very relaxed. And yet, in the aftermath of the game, I was listening to Five Live, Andy Nicholls like, this guy's the starting 10 for the Lions. So it's true that the winners get to write history. What did you make of Scotland's performance?
They were incredible. I think they got so much right, their energy and their togetherness, and they found vulnerabilities in England, and there is no doubt about it, not taken away from their performance, that, you know, match practice and playing matches makes a huge difference. Most of those English players, the Saracens players, haven't played any rugby in 2 months, and that told. But Scotland, there's always been question marks about how much grunt they have up front and how physical they can be, and I thought they were brilliant, you know. George Turner at hooker, they're missing their first two choice hookers in McAnally and Fraser Brown. He was incredible. Scott Cummings, Johnny Gray stepped up, and their back row, Richie and Hamish Watson, Fagerson, they just kept going forever. So they frustrated the life out of England, and the only slight in their performance was the scoreboard. It should have been a lot more. But England were hanging on in there, and I suppose the weather conditions didn't help in the end for them trying to go the length of the field and score a try. But Scotland were fully deserving. I couldn't believe in the 79th minute that they're going for a drop goal after picking and going for a minute and a half, and then the decision to pass back to Finn Russell where there's no teammates around him and three or four English guys charging him down. It could have been really, really costly for them. Finn Russell is such a talented player. He can win games with a piece of brilliance, but he can always also lose games with loose kicking, and sometimes his decision making isn't the best, and that was a bad decision. Some of the loose kicks out of him kind of were really poor. He's an incredible talent, and he has that sparkle that of course you want in players, but I wouldn't say he's the starter for the Lions, because I think he's the fundamentals and the basics of playing fly half, he can be loose at those a lot. But it was a brilliant, brilliant performance from Scotland. They fully deserved that win. And it makes our job going to Murrayfield in round four look an ominous task.
Yeah, all of a sudden everything is, a proper tournament is up and running. Loads of people wondering about Harry Byrne. Adrian on WhatsApp, what does Alan think Harry Byrne would bring to the starting 15? It'd be a very exciting call.
Yeah, look, I think he's youthful exuberance, maybe no baggage. He's very talented. I'm talking about Finn Russell there, doing the basics very well. And, you know, you're kicking, you're defending, you're passing, calling the shots, really. And he's untested, untried at this level, but we'll never know unless he's put in there. In an ideal world, he'd have played, you know, a lot more of the European games for Leinster. He has played a lot of Pro 14 this year, and he's plenty of game time under his belt. But he has excitement. He has that little bit of X factor, that confidence, that natural athleticism as well that you want. He's a big guy, so I think that's what he would bring to the team. And unless we try him, we won't know. And maybe it's a good time. You know, you're trying these guys against Italy, and giving guys a run out against Italy has been the norm before. So maybe it's time to, you know, to throw someone like that into the fly half position. And but look, I suspect, you know, I think it's the right thing. Your captain is your out half, and if Johnny Sexton is past fit, he starts against France. But having the option of someone like Harry Byrne, maybe would it, now is probably the time to try that.
Yeah. All right. The whole week to speculate about this, but the Six Nations is up and running. Disappointing start with Alan Goodstuff. Thanks a million for joining us. Cheers.
Cheers. Thanks, lads.
The OTB Podcast Network with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.